Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Excess Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer in New York. And I'm sitting here at a lovely evening, 85-degree night here in New York City at my bright red desk. And every week we get together with you and on the internet to talk to you about the upcoming aspects. I am joined in my endeavors by two other wonderful astrologers. One of them is Mark. Are you out there, Mark?
Yes, Mark Waltz in New York City on the same island as Anne.
Yep.
Over on the west side. Yep. And same temperature, 85 degrees.
Same temperature, 85 degrees. And I thought I heard Heather's bell ring as she came in.
Yes, this is Heather Rowan Robin speaking to you just down from Duluth and Lake Superior back in St. Paul by a few minutes. Crossing, it went from 40 degrees in Duluth to 85 here, so I know there's thunderstorms are brewing.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big shift in temperature.
It was.
Yeah.
I have to say it was.
It makes you aware of the cold front coming in. So, very cool. Well, we are talking this week. We have the week of May 30th through June, the beginning of June 2000, and we have exciting things afoot this week. We have an eclipse. We have Neptune stationing. And we have Jupiter changing signs, and
that's very exciting.
Venus changing signs. So we are really going to be rocking and rolling up there. And the eclipse is perhaps one of the most important because it's happening trine to stationing Saturn, offering us a choice of the path we are to take, and in a nice, kind, you know, way. And then the eclipse comes and then kicks our butt next week once we, you know, don't speed up our choice. But this week, we get the information. We get the, hey, did you know this is what's going on? So your job is to really pay attention to what information you receive this week, because the universe is talking to you, and it's trying to give you information that you need to make the decisions about the future of your life. And I know that sounds very dramatic, but you know what? It is kind of dramatic. This is kind of one of those dramatic weeks. And so we'll have some pretty big events on Earth. We can anticipate, and one of the nice parts about astrology is we look forward to looking at the events just to kind of get a handle on what we think is coming. So I will defer to my wiser counsel. What do you guys think is going to be happening this week?
Well, it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to the nice, quiet part of Jupiter in Taurus, which I think is going to be a turning point for the next year as a chance for more financial stability in the world. I have my hopes. That may be upset by the T-square that's going on that's going to keep us rocking and rolling on world-changing events. But this particular eclipse, it's interesting because it's aspecting the fixed star Algol, and we may see, which is known for beheadings, among other things, but it is often associated with breaking up the people in power losing face or losing their position or losing their head if they're really pushing it, and changing of opinions because the switch of who's on charge. So we're going to look this week for new people coming into power and old people leaving power. That may affect the Gaddafi regime, but I think that we'll see also on companies and politicians and you know, military, a change in who's running the show. That's one of my ideas of what we're going to see. Mark, what do you see?
Yeah, it's interesting with Algol. So I guess we can all watch for that on all levels. Just seeing a change of faces. Yeah, cool. I think the Jupiter in Taurus is going to bring a financial stability and optimism, which we're ready for. And it will also, in some areas, bring some excess, maybe some over-exuberance, and people trying to push the economy a little faster than is warranted. And I don't believe it will happen as an overall effect. I think it will be isolated. And what all of us want to do is make sure we're not part of the, you know, over-exuberance. Exuberant is good. Over-exuberant usually doesn't work so well. So, you know, and Jupiter gives a push to both of those.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of keep it to the level of exuberance. And as far as that goes, I think that will bring a good steadiness to the economy and just a sense of optimism and a feeling of, okay, we can get this on track, we can get it to grow. And this eclipse, this one that's coming tomorrow, is happening at 11 Gemini, Sun and Moon together, new moon. And they're trine to Saturn. They're separating from that trine, but the trine to Saturn would also indicate a sense of stability and things being grounded in a certain way. So I think we can really look for those effects. And I would say encourage them in anything going on around you. Just look for the most stable way to keep things steadily moving forward and growing. Yeah. What do you see, Anne?
Well, I was looking at them kind of as a clump, because the we have the first part, which is the get aware, make a decision, see the choices, because Gemini often presents a choice and says to us, you know, what's the choice you want to make? And the eclipse cast for Washington is the Sun and the Moon in the 8th house, trining Saturn in the, just finishing the trine to Saturn in the 12th. And Saturn, of course, is the highest rising planet. So we've been waiting for all the planets to get into their new signs, and everybody's in them. And they're all kind of waiting now and saying, okay, now we're ready to go forward. And Jupiter is sitting at the very, very last degree of Aries on the, you know, which is trine to the north node in Sag, says, okay, what's the direction you're going to choose? Where, how are you going to make your life move? And I think the understanding that that eclipses always offer us a choice or an opportunity to see things we never saw before. Then the next two, the lunar eclipse on the 15th, happens right after Saturn goes direct. And that one has the moon on the north node. And it's virtually the same time of day. One is at 5.02 p.m., the other one's at 4.14 p.m. So the charts are really similar. And it says, okay, now that you made your decision, now what are you going to do? Where are you going to go? And then the one that happens on July 1st is much harder. And it puts the Sun and the Moon in the first house and Saturn squaring, approaching the square to Saturn in the fifth. And that says, okay, you've been making all this noise about wanting to be more creative and to really create the life you want. What are you doing about it? And Jupiter's approaching and trine to Pluto, really pushing on us and pushing on us. And Mars is back at the point that the eclipses took place on in June 1st, saying to us, okay, you got to do it now. You have to take the action. So the square one that we have, you know, this is kind of like it invites you in, and then it shows you stuff, and then it says, okay, what are you going to do? And then you almost feel compelled, or you will be feeling compelled on that third eclipse on July 1st to make the choices and to move in the direction you want to go, with Venus angular and saying, what's your vision? And I think watching the planets change, Mercury is in Taurus for the first eclipse, for the second eclipse he's in Gemini, and for the third eclipse he is in Cancer. So he's moving through three signs really fast. So we're going to find decision-making really taking place, because that south node is having three different signs, one for each of the eclipses. One which is preserve existing reality, the Taurus one, on Algol, but you might be beheaded if you do. Then the second one is Gemini saying, okay, you said you wanted this, but do you really want it? And Mercury in Gemini is very much the trickster energy. And then he goes into Cancer and he goes, so what's the security you're going to build for yourself? What's the dream you have? And wanting us to step forward and to really take action. And I think they're really an interesting juxtaposition. I kind of think of them as three eclipses together, because they really are working together. And we're also at this turning point that we've been waiting for, with all these planets in position now, to say, okay, this is it. This is when the show goes on the road. You know, we're ready now. Mm-hmm. Are you ready? And, you know, the part of us that goes, I am. And then the part of us that goes, oh, I don't know. And by the time we get to the one in July, we'll be like, you know what? I'm ready. I'm in. But this next one is really, kind of the information that we need to help us make a decision. So.
One of the things that I'm noticing this weekend with the Sun Pluto quincunx is that we've got all of this, you know, brooding decision-making process coming up with the Gemini energy. People are just not so sure. They're going, their minds are starting to sparkle all over the place. Which way am I going? So we ask you not to push it too much. There is a melancholy that comes with this Sun quincunx Pluto that it's okay to dive down into that emotion and feel that underneath all the mental busyness. And it's like all excitement, and dive down into the feelings and just notice them, let them flow. That's an appropriate feeling to have on Memorial Day weekend, which is an interesting Gemini holiday, that we remember the people that have died in the wars, whatever we thought of the wars. We remember the offering that was made. And we have the remembering many other things besides the people who died in the war. There's just, it's thoughts that go through the stories, and a lot of people just kind of get drunk and play with their family on the weekend. But underneath those stories, I'm hearing the thoughtfulness, the looking back over the past, and that's part of the deeper side of Gemini energy, is letting our minds remember the stories. And I think this is an important part of the process to get ready to make some of those creative decisions that the eclipses are calling on us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're big. Mm-hmm. It'd be big. And how about Jupiter going into Taurus? We've had a whole year, even though it was broken mm-hmm. into two parts of Jupiter and Aries. Mm-hmm. But Jupiter goes into Taurus this week, wanting us
yes.
to put down some roots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that, if we can, the last two times was March 1999 to April of 2000, and then again, spring 1988 to spring 1989, and we can think back on then to see how it affects us. But in general, even though it prones us to spending a lot, it has a chance, you know, the in quotes economic recovery this year has been that Jupiter and Aries bouncing all over the place. People have been giving up and trying everything and giving up and trying everything. And there's a chance for things to really begin to root slowly and propitiously. I think of it like a pumpkin vine that's very, able to produce food from it, but it will be slow growing at the beginning, I think. There's a chance with that, that the Saturn, Uranus, Pluto aspects keep us, in upheaval most of the year. But I think underneath that is a chance for this economic turnaround. What are you seeing, Anne? I know you're good with that. And Mark, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, I like the pumpkin vine analogy because the pumpkin vine, there was that whole thing, well, pumpkins grew on trees, and they fell on your head. You would really notice it, as opposed to cherries on trees, which are much more amenable to landing on your head. I like Taurus. Jupiter's not supposed to be particularly happy in Taurus in the sense of it doesn't have the freedom to move around. But I do find that what it does is it causes a growth spurt. It causes everything to really want to grow. And the Tauruses among us, the little solid Taurus bodies that we know and love, there's always a tendency they can gain weight. And it also is a tendency to say, well, what was the decisions you made in the cycle right before? Because that's when those decisions took root. Because Taurus is about putting the roots down and saying, and Jupiter extending the roots. And him as the vine that the fruit grows on, kind of spreading all over. And then, you kind of look and you go, man, it's taking up a lot of the garden. But it's because pumpkins are big. So it encourages the growth. And I think that is really what it is. It's like whatever house Taurus is going to want to grow. So let it. Give it permission to grow and to have it do new things and to have it grow new stuff. So that's kind of my feeling about it. Plus the Taurus energy is, of course, going to immediately trine Pluto and, really push for, some new big growth, because Jupiter trine Pluto is a expansion. So I think we'll probably see like Facebook go have its IPO and stuff like that under the early part of the Taurus.
Interesting.
The early part of the Taurus, because it's all about connecting with your friends. And it will solidify its wealth when it goes public. So So from the stock market perspective, it's a nice transit because often the stocks grow slow and steady, but they do grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like the pumpkin vine.
Like the pumpkin does. Mark, what do you see?
Yeah, same thing. I do feel it'll show up with kind of a both Saturn and Jupiter working in a positive way. So, you know, we should all work with that energy. Just look for what areas seem to want to grow and give them water and food, and they will grow.
Right.
But, you know, not looking for, again, that over-exuberance, just a real optimism, which it fits with the season. You know, think of the season that we're in now of Gemini, where we don't have to worry about winter anymore. It's definitely not coming back until next winter.
Mm-hmm.
It's done. We're moving into summer very quickly. And so everything really does want to grow. And, you know, we don't need to wear jackets and hats. You know, it's all T-shirts. And it's that time of year, which is a really exuberant time. And a feeling that growth is not only possible, but inevitable. That's what moves us into the actual summer season of Cancer that begins with Cancer. So it's the end of the full preparation for summer, Gemini. It's the time when we're now solidly, you know, everything is solidly rooted, and so the great growth can come in. And that's really what we're sitting on, and seeing Jupiter move into Taurus really underscores that whole thing. In a way, having Jupiter in Aries during the early and middle spring gave a big boost to the spring sensibility, whether we're looking at financial markets or the garden in our backyard. You know, they all had a strong sense of let's grow fast, let's grow now, while Jupiter was in Aries. Now when it moves into Taurus, it's assured that the growth is going to happen. So it can be a little more pace. Because when things are in Taurus, there's more of a pace to it. And I think that'll be something that feels right, like all the growth feels right. We don't have to, it's not speculative. It's actually happening. So, you know, watch it grow. If you have a garden, watch, you know, measure the, with your eye, measure the diameter, the circumference of the leaves, and watch them from one day to the next on that pumpkin vine.
Yes, that's beautiful. But again, whenever something calls for taking root, as the aspect does now and Jupiter expands, we have to look at what's taking root. If we have any particular bad habits, if you want to quit smoking cigarettes, for instance, now is a good time to do it so that the new healthy routine takes root. My neighbors just did that. If you want to start working out, you can let that take root. If you've got an argument going on with a family member, you might want to weed that right now so that does not take root. To look at, you know, what vines are growing in your life and make sure that the healthy ones are there that you want fertilized. If you have a job or a business that you want to begin to grow, now is a good time to feed the roots and begin to, you know, not do a huge publicity push, but really nurture from the roots up.
Yeah, that's true. It's Jupiter in Aries was kind of like make everything grow, you know?
Yep.
And now it's more like, okay, let's do some weeding. Let's be selective.
Mm-hmm.
And put the energy in very specific places.
And being discriminatory about where you want to have the energy spent.
Because
otherwise you're just kind of running around and going, wow, you know.
Yeah, and then you get choked with weeds.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally true. And you go, wow, choked with weeds. What does that mean? You know? I don't want the weeds. I want the growth. I want the tomato plants and the carrots. I know in my case, you know, I was out on Fire Island this weekend, and it's, you know, it's all alive, full of life, and everything growing, and flowers, and deer, and you just realize, you know, the level of abundance that the earth has when left to its own devices.
Yes.
And allowed to just kind of create, you know, it's really big. You know, it just kind of goes, okay, I'm in. I'm making things grow. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, and you walk around, because I hadn't, you know, you go out and see all that. I have like a little tour in my head of the houses I really like, you know, the ones that really have nice gardens and the ones that have little ponds. And one of my favorite houses that was very tended, you know, meaning it had lots and lots of, you know, plants and flowers, and it just was really always very inviting. And I went by and it was all gone. The garden hadn't been tended this year, and it had not had, nothing had been planted, and some of the stuff was still there, but like a lot of weeds. And I'm like, oh, and, you know, and the house was for sale, and I'm like, oh, you know, whoever the gardener was in this house, they're gone. But then, you know, the other part of the garden had gone wild, and it was really, it had really been kind of taken over and was beautiful, but it was also just not, you know, this tamed...
Very different.
Very different, what Mother Nature had done, you know, and obviously whoever lived there, you know, the house was up for sale, but it was also for rent for the season. And, you know, it was like, okay, you know, they're not there. And it, but it was one of my favorite gardens, and it was gone, but it wasn't. You know, it was Mother Nature's version instead of human. And it was much more wild and rugged and beautiful, but it was also very sad because it was like, oh... The gardener's gone, wherever the gardener went.
Right.
Yeah.
When you see a real beautiful conversation between people and nature, like a happy garden where the gardener really works with the plants to create beauty together, it's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
It's lovely.
Yeah, yeah. And it makes you realize, you know, we don't have a whole lot of time to tend our own garden, so we better, you know.
Nope.
How are we what are we tending and what do we want to keep? Alive.
Speaking of which, do we have any phone calls coming in?
We do, but nobody's got their hand raised. So if anybody wants us to answer their questions, feel free to raise your hand by pressing the number 1, and we'll call on you. But
and
I think
meanwhile,
we have,
can you could
uh-huh. Oh, the number 347-215-8881. So somebody just raised their hand. Oh, two people just raised their hand. Okay. Hello, 207. You raised your hand. Hi.
Yes, I did. Hi. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
This is Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Up in Maine,
yep. How are you doing?
Okay,
and
all right.
What's your question and how can we help you, Tom?
Do I have any major changes or shifts coming up in my immediate future?
Wonderful. Can you give us your birth information?
Sure. I was born on Tuesday, January 27th, 1959, at 11:50 a.m., in Queens, New York.
1:50 a.m. in. And now you're living in
Northern Maine.
In Northern Maine. Wow. It's beautiful up there.
January 2nd, 1959?
27th. Mm-hmm. 27th,
okay.
27th. So, Pluto, you were born an Aquarius moon in Virgo with a Taurus rising and Mars rising over the ascendant.
Right.
And you asked if there's any particular major astrological change. Do you follow your chart a little bit?
I don't know how to.
Okay. Just wondering if you where you were with that. In about 3 months, your progressed moon, which about 9 months ago entered Leo, conjuncts Uranus. And so it does look like there is some not necessarily major change, but a chance for you to do some renovating or moving or reorganizing your relationship to your family. In other words, you are at home in change for a while. And that fits some of the other aspects that we're seeing that suggest that you're in the middle of making some personal changes that don't necessarily have to be major to be major to you,
okay.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
Do you feel like you've got something coming? And you're also, your progressed sun, which has been in Pisces for 29 years, enters Aries in less than a year, in a few months, and also begins a new 30-year phase of your life. So neither one of those are shocking and difficult, but more, you know, stepping forward to making some good changes that feel like you're kind of sort of coming home to yourself, or you have the opportunity to come home to yourself. So that looks good to me. What was, did you feel a change coming? Is that why you asked?
I want a change. I want it so bad. I was wondering if maybe I'd be getting back into the field that I was in maybe 20 years ago.
Was it creative?
Yes.
Yes. Then there's every chance, because you're going to be feeling very experimental. And starting about 9 months ago, it looks like you've become much more restless and much less happy to be content in the quiet, and much more restless and wanting to be back in the middle of things, whatever that means to you.
Okay.
So really getting ready to kind of dive back in a new phase in your life. And you said 20 years ago you were involved in this career?
20 up until...
It looks like a return to almost 30 years ago. Where you've been on a journey of personal discovery and a lot quieter, you're moving back into a more extroverted phase than you've been in for a very long time.
Hmm. Yeah.
Which is good. It kind of gets you back out in the world again.
Yeah,
your progressed sun goes into Aries next year. So that says that the last 30, you know, you were kind of wild for 23 years, and then 30 years you were a little quiet. And when the progressed sun changes signs and goes into a new sign, we often find that the life kind of shifts major. And that's in August of this year, September, August. So that's a huge time of shift. And so what can happen is when you're kind of at that, you know, last bits at the end of September, between now and the end of September, it's feeling like I'm ready, I'm really ready, you know, and it's like you know the spring is coming, but it's not quite here yet, and you're looking for the first crocus.
Mm-hmm.
So in September, your progressed sun goes into Aries, where it will be for the next 30 years. So it's taking the ideas of the first 23 and the creativity of the last 30 and really coming up with a new way to get them out into the world. So that becomes a major turning point in your life, and it also will reorganize a lot of how you used to think about your creativity. And it also has aspects to your finances as it squares the part of fortune. So I think you can have kind of a resurgence in finances starting in September too. Not too much spending, but just kind of really focusing on how do you create with what you have, you know.
Way and, cool. I like
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
I really understand that now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting time.
Good.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, change in terms of your home environment, too, you know, where you can move or change the home environment or work out of the home in a creative way. Do you do any dramatic stuff up in Maine?
No.
No?
No. I'm trying to get out of here. There's nothing dramatic up here.
Nothing dramatic up here.
I think it will. It looks like there's every chance for you to get out of there in about 3 months when your progressed moon conjuncts your Uranus.
Mm-hmm.
That you're already looking forward to a move, and you're really getting ready to. You've had to go back there, it looks like, to finish up some karmic process. And I don't know if you had family up there or if you yourself just needed to be inside and do some very deep, quiet inner work for a while, but you're done, and it's time
Good.
To go.
Great. I was ready when we got here.
Okay. You're done. You had to do it, but you're done now.
Great.
New directions. Always fun.
So
we love those
new directions. It's not a midlife crisis coming up. It's just a shift of planets.
A shift of planets.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the midlife crisis
it
can be both. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We never want to minimize those midlife crises, but really what they are is they're astrology planets causing you to go, change, I need to change. So,
and to make sure that you review all of the hopes and fears you had earlier on in your life and see which ones you really need to continue with, which ones you need to let go of finally, and, you know, what do you need to compost and what do you need to, like, it's time, get on with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, think of it as a shift.
Pardon?
Okay, I think we have to go now.
Yep.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
Good luck.
Okay.
Have a wonderful time.
All right, so that's the end of the show. It went fast, 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 fast. This is Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, astrologer in New York. I'm joined by my compadres.
This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota. And we all do readings privately if you're ever interested in contacting us.
Mm-hmm.
And we are joined by Mark.
Mark Wolf in New York City. And you can find all of our information at astronyc.com. A-S-T-R-O-N-Y-C.
And Mark's specialty is the yoga and astrology. Amazing stuff around health issues. Mark, we want to get you to talk more about that next time.
Okay.
And you can come to the Open Center and hear us talk Tuesdays at 6:30 to 7:30. So have a great week.
Here,
mm-hmm.
The first Tuesday of every month, come contact me and I'll let you know where.
Cool.
Okay.
Okay.
So have a great week, folks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.